Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to notice verse 15. And this will be our broadcast for tonight, will be entitled, Reaching the Lost. Reaching the Lost. And what we're going to do is look at keys in reaching the lost. It says in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the reason why we seek to reach the lost is because that is the command that the Master gave to the church. Here in Mark 16, 15, he's talking to his apostles, and I think they made up the first church. And the commission he gave to them primarily was to go forth and to carry the message, carry the gospel message to every creature. A church can never lose vision of that, and if a church ever does, then that church has lost its way. Many times we can get so involved in worldly things that we fail to seek to bring salvation to the lost or bring the message of salvation to the lost. Now what we're going to do is look at keys in reaching the lost. And I'm going to give you several keys. I'm going to see how many I can get in the broadcast this evening. But the first key in reaching the lost, in preaching the gospel to every creature, the first key is you need to have the right message. You need to have the right message. As sure as there's a true gospel, there is also false gospels. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, the true gospel message is defined by the Apostle Paul. Now, you'll remember that when the Apostle Paul was saved, the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus and saved his soul and called him out of his sin, and he then sent him forth to preach the gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul received the gospel message by revelation. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, it says he never received the gospel by man, nor was he taught the gospel by man, but by revelation. Now, let me read you that text. Galatians 1, verse 11 says, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, or neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Paul received the gospel by divine revelation. No man taught him the gospel. Jesus taught him the gospel. Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 2, it records that he, on an occasion, went to Jerusalem, and he did that 14 years after that he was saved. He went up to Jerusalem, and one of the reasons why he did that was for the purpose of making sure that he and the apostles at Jerusalem were on the same page as far as the gospel was concerned. And in the book of Galatians chapter 2, he shared with them the gospel that he preached. And the message that he preached was the exact same message that the other apostles preached. It says in Galatians 2 and verse 9, And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they would go unto the circumcision. So the apostles at Jerusalem and Paul preached the exact same gospel message. And the reason why that was is they received that from man. They received that from the same man, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught the gospel by him. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the greatest texts in all the Word of God. And one of the most important texts in all the Word of God. Because in this text, it is recorded the gospel that Paul preached. He sets down in the text what he preached, what he spread. Now notice what he says about the gospel in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. That's what it says in verse 1. He declares the gospel that he preached. So this will be then a record of the message that he spread. This will be a record of the message that he received by divine revelation. This will be a record of the message that the other apostles preached also. And it's recorded here it is recorded here in this text what he received from Jesus as far as the gospel is concerned. Now, he says, this is the message which I preach. Now, he goes on and makes these statements about it. I mentioned this so many times in the past, but I'm going to mention to it again. He says, which I preached, ye have received it, wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. So, by receiving the gospel message is how a person is saved. That's what it says, by which ye are saved. You're saved by receiving this message of the gospel. Of course, the word gospel means good news. Now, in this text, he goes on and defines what the gospel is. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. So he explains here that he had received it. It wasn't a message that he made up himself, but it was a message that he had received, as I showed you in Galatians 1, from Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel that he preached was received. And who gave him that message was Jesus. And here's what it states. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now that's the first part of the gospel. He died for our sins. I mean, the purpose of Calvary was he was being a substitute for our sins. Just like in the Old Testament scriptures, whenever they offered a lamb, in Israel, every morning and every evening, they offered a lamb. Blood was shed, and that was a picture of what Jesus would do. Whenever he came and whenever he was born for the purpose of paying our sin debt, for the purpose of saving us from our sins. So Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. He was placed in a tomb. Old Testament prophesied that he would be buried, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, folks, that's what the gospel message consists of. The death of Christ for our sins and the resurrection again from the dead. That's the message that Paul received from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the message that he spread. He spread that glorious gospel message. Bad news is that we've all sinned, but the good news is that Christ died on Calvary for our sins. Now, the book of Romans chapter 1 says in verse, Romans chapter 1, and it says in verse 15, he says that I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and neither should we. We should be so proud of it that we would want other people to hear it and other people to know it. Because receiving the gospel is the only way you can be saved from your sin, have victory over death, and have a home in the Father's house. So he says, I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. So the power of God unto salvation, the message by which he saves the sinner, is called the gospel. So if you're going to reach the lost, and we're looking at tonight's broadcast, keys in reaching the lost, you have to have this message. This is the message that you have to spread. And that is the message that the Apostle Paul spread. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians 1, he says a little bit more about the gospel. Then we're going to move off to the next key to reaching the lost. You can't reach the lost if you don't have the right message. There's many people that claim to be reaching the lost, but they're spreading a false message. There's only one gospel. There's not 10 gospels. There's only one. It's defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, there is, folks, that spread perverted gospels. And in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9, it warns about those that will spread a false gospel. Now surely as there's a true gospel, and as surely as there's a devil, there's going to be a devil that seeks to spread a false gospel. And he's going to have ministers that does that. And he's going to have churches, so-called, that does that, that peddle a false gospel. And it will be different to what you see in 1 Corinthians 15. That's how you identify them. There will always be some addition made to Christ dying on Calvary and rising again. There'll be something added to that. There's an example of that in the book of Galatians chapter 5. There's an example of someone adding to the gospel. They said, yes, you need to believe on Jesus. Yes, you need to trust in Jesus. But unless you're circumcised, you cannot be saved. You see, when you looked at the definition in 1 Corinthians 15, you've seen no mention whatsoever of circumcision. That was an addition. And when you make an addition to this definition, when you make an addition to the gospel, then, my friend, you pervert the gospel. And perverting the gospel means to turn it, to change it into something of opposite character. You turn it from a message of life to a message of death. And indeed, Satan is behind any organization that spreads a false gospel. So if you're going to reach the lost, you got to spread the right message. And the right message to spread is the gospel. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, certainly baptism is also a part of the commission. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, it says we're to go make disciples. How do we make disciples? We make disciples by spreading the gospel. If you don't spread the gospel, then you're not going to see disciples made. So it's very important that to make disciples, you spread the gospel. Now, after disciple is made, they are to be baptized. Now, that is really not something that many times we view that as optional, but it's not optional. Baptism is a command. So here in verse 17, it said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, what I want you to see from this is that baptism is not the gospel message. When you look back in 1 Corinthians 15, there's no mention in the definition of baptism. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. Baptism sets forth in a picture form the message that saves your soul, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But it's not the gospel message. And you can't make it a part of the gospel message. The gospel message is simply the message, the proclamation that Christ died on Calvary for our sins and rose again the third day. And by trusting in that message is the means by which God saves a sinner. Romans 1 said again, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, to believe means to trust in Him, to put your confidence in Him, to put your sole hope of heaven in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. That's the only way by which you can be saved, is by trusting in the Messiah that He died on Calvary for you and rose again the third day. That's the right message. He defined it for you in 1 Corinthians 15. He told you in 1 Corinthians 1:17 that baptism's not a part of it. It's not the gospel message, but it is a picture of it. After you're saved, after you become a disciple, John chapter 4, whenever the Lord Jesus was in His ministry, John chapter 4, let me read this text to you, and verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. You see, a disciple is first made and then they're baptized. That's the exact commission that the Lord gave to His church in Matthew chapter 28. Disciples are to be made, and they're made by receiving the gospel. Then disciples are to be baptized. In baptism, they're showing forth. It's a great witnessing tool. You invite people in to watch the baptism, and they see a open declaration in the baptism of the message that that person trusted that saved their soul. So if you're going to reach the lost, you best have the right message. And the right message is the message that Christ died on Calvary for our sins and rose again the third day. So that's the first key. If you're going to reach the lost, You have to have the right message. Number two, if you're going to reach the lost, you need to have a heart's desire to see the lost saved. I mean, you're not even going to try to reach the lost unless you have a burden for the lost. And God's people need to have a burden for unsaved people. We need to have a strong desire to see people saved. The Apostle Paul, you talk about someone that had a heart's desire. He did. He went through beatings. He went through shipwreck. He went through such tribulation in order to get the gospel message to God's people. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said that he suffered all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which was in Christ Jesus. He went through so much to get that precious message out there, but he had a heart's desire. That heart's desire comes from the Lord. That's the only place that you will find a heart's desire, as if it comes from the Lord in your heart. You need to pray that the Lord would give you a burden for unsaved people. What happens is we get so self-satisfied with how things are going that we don't seek to win the lost like we should. We need to have that heart's desire, that burden to see them saved. And that's what motivates you to seek to reach the lost. Well, Paul said in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You need to have a heart's desire to see lost people saved, and that will motivate you to seek to reach the lost. He said in Romans 9, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." So the statement he makes, he said, I wish if I could be accursed from Christ and they be saved, basically that's what he would have chosen. That's how strongly he desired to see his kinsmen, his countrymen, saved. Folks, we need that type of heart's desire. Psalms 126 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Folks, goeth forth and weepeth. Do you ever shed tears for lost people? Do you ever shed tears? Do you have such a burden maybe for an unsaved child or an unsaved family member that you would just so long to see saved? Boy, you need that heart's desire. If you're going to reach the lost, you must not only have the right message. There's people that have the right message, but they don't have no heart's desire. They've laid back and absolutely have no concern for the lost whatsoever. And they have a coldness about them and an unconcern about them. My friend, you need to pray that God would give you a burden for unsaved people. And that's what motivates you to seek to reach the lost. So, we're looking tonight at reaching the lost, keys in reaching the lost. Number one, you have to have the right message. Number two, you have to have a heart's desire to see them saved, or you won't seek to see them saved. You'll be more concerned just about you and the things of the world. The third thing you need in order to reach the lost is you need to have a godly life. You need to have a godly life. You can't witness to someone in the world if you're living like the world. And many people try to do that. They claim the name of Christ, they claim to be saved, but they live like the world. They have no desire to serve the Lord, but I tell you, when the religious talks begin to happen, they always have plenty of comments to make, and sometimes they'll try to witness for the Lord, but their actions speak so loudly the lost can't hear what they're saying. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, it says this. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverted nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We need to let our light shine. You let our light shine by serving the Lord and living for the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That's why you do good. You don't do good works to get saved. If you're doing good works to get saved, you're doing them for the wrong reason. What Jesus did on Calvary is what saved you. His death and resurrection is what saves you. You do your works because you are saved, and you do your works to bring glory to Him. That's why you do them. Well, another key to witnessing and reaching the lost is living a godly life. Lost people will not listen to someone that lives just like them. They will have no regard or respect for what you have to say if they don't see Jesus in you. If you want to be a witness to your children, then they need to see Jesus in you in your home. It's horrible the way some parents live. They'll strut off to church on Sunday mornings and they'll carry their Bible, you know, and they'll put on the religious front. And then they'll go back home Monday through Sunday at home and live like the devil behind closed doors. And their children see that. And they'll never have an impact. Well, they will have an impact on their children, but it will be a negative one. If you're saved, you need to live a godly life because you love the Lord, but also so that you can reach others in your family. In the book of Titus chapter 1, it talks about a people that professes to know God, but in their works, in how they live, they deny Him. Titus chapter 1, let me read that text. Let me take a second here to find it in my Bible. Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and to every good work a reprobate. Now, how many people do you know that's like that today in the United States? Man, there's no loss of religion here. There's plenty of religion. But my friend, there's plenty of professors of religion that never have changed in their life. A true saving faith, I'm going to tell you something. True saving faith in Jesus will change your life. It'll change your heart because faith is always accompanied by repentance. Where you have repentance, you have a change of heart, a change of mind. And you also have faith. They go together. They're inseparable graces. You don't have someone with faith, true faith, that doesn't repent. You don't have someone that repents that doesn't have true faith. And that changes their life. So that's another key, is you have to have a changed life. You have to have the right message. The gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians 15. You have to have a heart's desire, and you have to have also a changed life. You have to live the life. They need to see it. Well, the next thing you need, the next key to reaching the lost is you need to pray. You need to pray. And so often we just don't take the time to pray. Pray for the salvation of the sinner. We just noticed it in the book of Romans chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel was that they might be saved. We need to pray for God to open us up opportunities to share the gospel with people that are lost. He will indeed, many times, work behind the scenes to bring you into contact with people that He means for you to present the gospel to. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, it shares this avenue of reaching the lost with regard to prayer. Colossians chapter 4, it says in verse 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Now, what is a door of utterance? Well, it's an opportunity to share with other people the gospel. It's an open door. It means an open, you know, when you're talking about an open door, you're talking about an open opportunity to share this blessed gospel message with someone else. And we should pray for those opportunities every day of our life. Lord, open me up as I go forth to work. Open me up a door of utterance to share the gospel message with someone who is lost. Open me up a door today, Lord, and you pray for that. You pray for that when you're coming to church. You pray for open doors to share Jesus. Man, if you really have a heart's desire, then that's going to be followed up with a prayer. Lord, help me. Give me the opportunity. And then when you're speaking the gospel, you pray that the Lord would help you make it known as you should. Now, you got both of those in Colossians 4. It says, pray that God would open us a door of utterance. Number two, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in bonds and that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he prayed not only for the opportunity, but he also prayed that when he was giving forth the gospel, that he would make it known as he should. Folks, do you do that? Do you have that heart's desire? Do you have the right message? Are you spreading the right gospel? Look at the definition in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It tells you what he received from Jesus, and it tells you how it saves you. It saves you when you receive it, when you trust it. Man, if I ask someone, are they saved? I listen for that message. Well, you have to have the right message. That's a key in reaching the lost. Number two, you have to have a heart's desire. If you don't have that, you won't even try to reach the lost. You got to pray for that too. Number three, you got to live a godly life. Man, if you don't let your light shine, people's not going to listen to what you have to say. If you're going to have an impact, they need to see the gospel change in you. A true gospel message does indeed change your life. Number four, the key in reaching the lost is you need to pray. You pray for open doors to share that gospel message with others. And then the last key, you work your field. You work your field where you're at. Your field is your home, your family, your neighborhood, where you work at, where you go to school at. Wherever he's placed you, you're to be a light there, and you're to seek to win those that are around you. You come to church for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. But then when you leave the church, you're going out into the world where you work at and live at. And you're seeking to win the lost. And, my friend, we need to get God's people to work their fields. To work their fields. To have a burden for the lost. And to take that gospel message to where they're at. Different ways you can work your field. Invite them to the church to hear the message. Take them a track and CD. They invite them to listen to this radio broadcast. There's many ways of getting them the message, but my friend, you need to work your field. Well, folks, the message was entitled Reaching the Lost, Keys to Reaching the Lost. You have to have the right message, the gospel message. You have to have a heart's desire. You need to live a godly life so that they'll listen to you. You need to pray for open doors. And then you need to work your field. May God add His blessings to His Word.